Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome, everyone, to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got an awesome guest today, Wade Pinder. Wade Pinder is someone who I've known over, just kind of bumped into him on and off over the years at various different panels and things like that. He has been described accurately as a dynamic, perhaps the dynamic force behind the Houston product community, which is a hub for product-focused and product-curious professionals, owners, managers, designers, and enthusiasts. He was recognized as the 2023 Mentor of the Year by Houston Innovation Awards. And you can find him everywhere in Houston. So whenever there's an event that's anything remotely kind of product-related and even beyond that, Wade, you might bump into him. And yeah, and I'm just excited to have him on the show today. Wade, thanks for being here.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So let's start off real quick, getting into just a little bit about your path into becoming kind of a product. I don't know if you would call yourself a product expert, because, you know, expert's a big title, but I know that a lot of folks in the product community, they just kind of, you have a lot of wisdom to share. So
yeah, I don't call myself an expert or anything. I try not to think of it that way. I love product. I'm enthusiastic about product. I've been working in product for some form or another for over 30 years. But anytime you think you're an expert in something, that's when to really look out. So I try to really limit how I think of that. I'll put it this way, product humbles everybody because the answers aren't always apparent. Yeah. And the minute you think you know the answer, that's when to be worried.
That's when you get hit from the side and it's like, wow, I did not expect that.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing that's always been, curious, about you is that you choose to be locally focused. So, you've done things all over the world. You've got a wide array of accomplishments, but, you kind of go out of your way to say like, hey, I'm doing Houston and I'm doing product. What kind of leads to that kind of desire to be focused?
Lean into that this past week because it was Southwest in Austin and everybody was asking me I was going. I was like, no. It's like, when's the last time you went? I'm like, I've never been really. Someday I may go there. But how that happened for me, seeing technology evolve, and it was about 7 or 8 years ago when folks asked me to start mentoring founders specifically around product managers, startup founders. And Hurricane Harvey happened around that time. Mattress Mack had opened up his stores and people were staying there. And I had always kind of like been disappointed in myself. I didn't just pack up and like move to Silicon Valley, try to figure it out like in the early 90s and just go there and do that. And I just kind of had this moment looking out over the city right after Hurricane Harvey. And I was like, you know what? Houston's the team I've landed on. Houston's the team I'm playing for. And I kind of came up with what I call my Venn diagram. I talked to other community members. I talked about what is your Venn diagram and why is Houston and product. And from that day forward, the energy I have to give to community, which is only a certain amount every week, that if it doesn't check those two boxes, I don't show up for it generally. So I try to, it's about being hyper focused and disciplined. And really trying to, after years of trying to like create content, not trying to, but creating content and everything like that, I really figured out like a differentiator is doing things in person and having the context between people instead of trying to bit of knowledge that you have come out there. Also, like part of why I did it, we do very hard things in Houston, right? We have infrastructure at scale. We have, life and death en masse, and we boldly go where no one's gone before, right? Those all have matter, and the infrastructure tied to them. So that's another factor in why I've decided to kind of focus on Houston. And like I say, Houston has Houston problems, Houston needs Houston solutions. And so many times, like you read things, about product management, and we don't all work for FANG. We don't all have that type of budget. We all don't have that type of culture where failure is an option sometimes. So we have a different kind of problem set culturally here and talent. So that's why I started focusing on
Yeah.
it's
Yeah,
become
I
a
love
real
that.
differentiator for me for sure.
And there's something else I think about too, Wade, is I think about the different regions and the obvious region, Silicon Valley is the obvious one where it's such a hotbed for innovation and everything. So if you're a professional from there, you're going to be exposed to so much. But what surprised me is in my own work as a UX practitioner, and I've seen it with product managers as well, having a client sometimes in Silicon Valley. So first of all, years ago, I would have thought that I would never be able to get a client or impress people in Silicon Valley with stuff. But I've had really successful engagements before. And when I've asked clients, what was maybe the difference? And they found that, teams, if they're able to deal with serious problems, there's a certain level of seriousness sometimes that you need to be able to deal with and handle in a software. Does that
Yeah, and how I think of it, I don't think of it as seriousness. I think of it as the risk, right? Is it if you're building a dating app and you go on a bad date, okay, that's one thing, right? But if you're building software for a heart defibrillator, there is no margin for error there. So that's I think we deal with a much we have a culture of safety. I don't know if a lot of people know that with the energy and healthcare and the aerospace stuff, there's a very small margin for error. And so I don't necessarily think of it as like, what was the word you used?
serious. Yeah, because
Serious, right?
that might kind of sound right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. But it's like, what's at stake if something goes wrong, right?
Well, yeah, because energy, you're dealing with infrastructure, and then
Right.
Houston, we've got the medical, and then we've got aerospace. So here's something else that I think about, Wade, is product management as a profession. So on the design side of things, we have kind of the luxury of just being a methodology. And so we've got lots of conferences and lots of professionals who share all these different kinds of methods, and it's very horizontal. And you could be a designer and just work in any field. And then my observation for the most part of product managers is they tend to be a lot more vertical. They have to be kind of have a lot of SME expertise a lot of the time. And I wonder if that plays into sometimes why we see a lack, or what seems to me to be a lack of kind of a visible, here's how you do product management as a methodology, and here's the toolkit that you should use, and folks should do this. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I always, when I talk with folks that are interested in growing in product management, I'm always like, it's like that Amazon quote, right? It's like, have your opinions, but keep them loosely held, right? Have your frameworks, but kind of keep them loosely held. And what I talk about, there's a common tool set to product folks, and you got to know when to use the appropriate tools and when to not use other tools, right? And I think it was like Batman's utility belt, right? You don't need shark repellent for every, the bat shark repellent for everyday use, right? But you need, if you're dealing with a shark, it would be very handy to know it's there and when to bring it out and everything. So that's what you said about subject matter experts. That's one type of product manager. And there's a few angles into product management, and what you hit on there is if you're a subject matter expert and you can kind of think like a product manager, that's one route into it. And so I think of it as product needs to have a big interaction with subject matter experts. They may be one, they may not be one, but it can't just be a one person show around the subject matter expertness. Then you get stuck in your own head and you bring your own biases and own judgment into a system. And then when that gets deployed out there, you find that's not how everybody else thinks or works or experiences things.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about storytelling. I've heard you mention sometimes storytelling and the importance of it. What role do you think that plays in product management, and how important of a skill set do you think that it is?
Yeah, I think it's vital. I was lucky enough to, like 7 or 8 years ago, Agile Leadership Network Houston had a speaker come in and talk about storytelling. And that was kind of where I picked up on the framework and just started seeing storytelling everywhere. And while I talk about storytelling with product managers and in the community and everything, it's not something that I go around, in my day-to-day doing it. Hey, I'm going to tell you a story. I just do it. Right. And, it's an effective way of communicating vision through a story. And it's how people can come together and row in the same direction, right? It's how you can kind of set a North Star for what we're doing. It's also how you can validate and get buy-in on things. So I think about storytelling a lot. And actually, have run like Dungeons and Dragons campaigns. I didn't start doing that until like my 40s as my kids got into that some. But it's like that has helped me in product management more than probably anything else, is that I can tell a story, I can pick up a plot line, and you have to be able to tell the story over and over and over again with the same level of authentic connection and enthusiasm, right? You can't fake it. You got to be authentic to get people to buy in and sign up and move in the right direction. So I see it everywhere, and I see it as one of the big differentiators for the value product managers can bring to an organization or to a product. And as I run into a lot of folks that are working on product and stuff and coming into product for the first time, when I see them try to explain what it is they're working on or the value of what it is they're working on, I never doubt the value of storytelling ever again, because not everybody gets it,
Yeah, no, that's great. And so, yeah, I think it is a huge part of the job. Like, I look to product managers that I work with. I rely on that ability to kind of keep us grounded.
Yeah,
And I also.
I read a book accidentally like 12 years ago called How to Write a Damn Good Novel. I was kind of interested in maybe writing a novel at some point. I haven't revisited since I came into storytelling for product, but it's all there, right? The characterization, the hero's journey, the setting, the plot, right? The conflict. And I'm real big in talking to product managers, like you always frame the listener as the hero in the story, not your product, right? The product is like something that can equip the listener or the hero. It's like the sword in the journey, right? It's kind of how I think of it.
Nice. Love it. And so I want to talk about PLG a little bit. So I was happy when product-led growth started becoming a big terminology that was used in strategic conversations because, excuse me, the experience I always had as a UX designer is you're constantly making the case as to why it makes sense to invest in the product being awesome. And then I don't know when PLG started becoming more of a popular term. To me, it feels like around the mid 2010s or so, maybe later 2010s, but it became like much more of a sort of a hot button word. Do you have any thoughts about product-led growth, either the terminology or the proliferation of the idea?
Yeah, it's nice, but a lot of us don't live in that world. Right? A lot of us are coming into a product. A lot of us are coming into an environment. And I love the concept. Don't get me wrong. I love my product. Right? But how I reframe it and generally tend to think of it as is experience-led growth, right? Because your product is really about the experience. And no matter what situation any of us land in, an experience is going on. Right. You can improve that or bring better value to that. You might only have so much control over what you can do with your product, right? Your budget, your timeline, everything. And legacy. Like so many times, when you hear about these, product-led companies, they're new companies. A lot of our companies here in Houston have been around for, 100 years in some fashion. And but they all, the one thing they have in common, there's all an experience that a user or a customer has with them, right? So some of the companies we have in town are like, your trash collection, right? That's an experience. You don't necessarily think about it, but every time you drag your garbage can out to, the road, or the trash man comes by to pick that up, right? It some experience is going on. So there's ways to improve the experience and thus the product.
I love it. Well, speaking of the experience of the user and that being kind of a grounding force at the company, the teams that are working on building the product, I remember at one company that you were at, I had a tour of the place and I remember there being this wall and it was a customer wall and it had all of these neat things on it, like a telephone and you pick up the telephone and you hear what a customer would hear, or a letter, a mailbox where you open the mailbox and you would see a letter that a customer would actually receive. And just every part of the wall had pieces of the experience. Could you tell us a little bit about that and maybe what you think the importance of that kind of thing is?
Yeah, sure. I don't mind naming it, right? It's
Sure.
blinds.com. That's where I worked. There's our founder, Jay Steinfeld, wrote a great book called Lead from the Core. We had core values were a big deal there at blinds.com. It's a wonderful place to work, but they completely focused on the experience. And yeah, you're talking about an experience map we had on the wall there. And, like you, it was all of the physical stuff that people interact with around the brand and the experience, whether it's things that went through the mail. They had a little mailbox there. It was a telephone. You could listen in on some calls that had been recorded. You could look at reviews that people had put together. But it took you from the concept of, hey, I need to fill this window. Like somebody can see in my window, wherever that starts. I'm like, I have a need. All the way to, satisfied customer and all of the interaction points that come up with that, right? And I'm product manager of the e-commerce site, and that is only, 25, 30% of the experience that our customer has in ordering those window coverings. So I need to know where I fit into that whole journey. And that's really where I leveled up on customer journey map and understanding the customer experience. A great team there. And our CEO oftentimes said, we're a marketing team, or we're a marketing company that sells window blinds. And it was really, really a great place to work. But yeah,
And
the customer journey map, it was a physical customer journey map.
I just had never seen it being embedded in the company to that extent. That was mind-blowing to me when I saw that. And so here's a question.
I'll pause right here for
Yeah,
your
go ahead.
listeners. There's a great book out there called Tell to Win, and it was on our CEO's top 10, reading list books. I think he did a Inc. article or something like that about that, and I read that book. But it's about storytelling, right? And it's about using visual elements in your storytelling, and that whole office told a story, not just the journey map that was up on the wall there.
Right. Thanks for adding that extra piece there for the listeners. Here's something I wanted to pick your brain on, and that's the market right now. What, in your impression, do you have any ideas? So, it's
I
is
do.
it
I
corporate
do.
culture? Is it changes in the economy? What do you think is kind of, what are your thoughts?
Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? I hesitate. I hesitate. So how much time do you have? So,
Yeah, and I know this could you could do a whole show about
I'll
this,
cut it down
honestly.
short, but I think we're at the end of like a 40-year cycle is kind of how I think of that. Started with the introduction of the PC. It's hard to believe, but the Apple Macintosh, 1984 commercial, that was 40 years ago this past Super Bowl, right? And we largely kind of knew what we were moving towards, right? The cell phone we have, that's the communicator from Star Trek, right? We kind of, had a way forward. And now we're in, right? I believe the next 40-year cycle is AI, right? We're at, when I was, 14, the saying was, right, it won't be a computer that takes your job, it's somebody that knows how to use a computer that will take your job, right? And that's what I was, that's who I was back then, right? Yeah, I came in, I automated a lot of systems, right? And nobody got fired for it, but they didn't need to hire for that position, or it changed things over time. Now we're at the point where it's not going to be AI that takes your job, it's going to be somebody who knows how to use and leverage AI, right? And it's where, product is about the what and why, and that's not going away. So if you're able to leverage these AI developer tools, there's like, what was it, Devin or something that came out last week, right?
Right.
There's a team of seven, eight people you need to like launch a product, a digital product, an online product. And now that's not so much the case in order to get an MVP out there. And it's knowing how to work with those tools and how do you like when you type something in ChatGPT, you don't get the same answer exactly twice, right? So it's like, what does that look like if you've created this product and it's working great, but now you need to add this feature? How do you do that, right? And I know there's tools and stuff and they're working on it, but that's where we are right now. That's if you're in product, you should be playing with some no code tools and AI building tools to understand that. I'm a huge fan of like creating, like we're thinking about throwaway products, right? That's just some simple idea and you're not going to commercialize it or anything. We have another great group in town called the Side Project Society, which is people with day jobs that work on, digital products on the side, either to scratch that technology itch that they're not getting from their day job or to explore like an entrepreneurial idea, and they help each other out with different things. So I think it's a great opportunity for, people who, can think in with product thinking and apply it, but you're going to need to know how to build, shift, adjust. You can't just depend on the tool, on an AI tool the entire time. So if you need context, if you need expertise, but you've already launched something, and that, how, what does that look like? So there's, pitfalls out there, but we'll work through them.
Nice. And
I'll go ahead.
No, go ahead. I wanted you to
And
finish the thought there.
I was going to say the other thing is, right, with the market, it's been tough in tech for the past well over a year now. And that's for product managers too. I know a lot of product managers that are in the market. It got very popular 5 years ago as like a cool thing to go into. We have a lot of people going into it. We have a lot of people, right? I think when I interact, or when I'm looking to hire product managers, I'm looking for somebody who thinks in a certain way, who's kind of wired in a certain way almost. And while you can learn it, it's a tough tightrope a walk as a product manager. And I think we had tons of people getting in there. There was a lot of overhiring in tech in general. And now we got quite a few folks out there that have worked in product, but really hadn't even launched a product or launched value into the marketplace. And now as things have pulled back, we've got a glut of people, a glut of folks on the market. So when I'm running into people that don't have like a product background or that, right, aren't, don't seem to be inclined for, they're just exploring it as a job. Like they don't really care about product, right? It's not their passion. I am at the point now, I tell them what's, or I ask them, what's your plan B and C? Like, because I know 20 great product managers that are looking for a job right now. That's the market that we're in.
Now that kind of leads into the next one. Because we've got to, as tech professionals, we've got to know all we can and kind of be as wise as possible, which reminds me that a while ago, I heard you mention that you're working on a playbook. We're working on or are working on a playbook. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So it's with community. So the community of practice
Got
that
you.
I have
Got
created,
you.
it's just kind of how I think about it, right? And I apply product thinking to building a community. And why I started that community, I moved to Houston in 2008, didn't know many folks here, started working as a product manager, couldn't meet any product managers. Houston's a big Houston grew after the invention of air conditioning and the automobile. So you literally have to drive everywhere, right? And you literally have to go into a building, right? So a lot of our networking stuff, you don't just accidentally run into people, and you don't actually just wander into things that, people are kind of adding value to you. So it took me years and years to find like other product managers. So in that time, I was like, well, what is, community? I started applying, product thinking to, well, what if I could have this gathering of product people? And yes, there's tons of meetup. If you want to piss me off, call the community a meetup, right? Right. Meetup.com, all the sites are littered with quote unquote, communities that somebody started with a motive. That motive was met or unmet or, unrealized, and it's just abandoned. Right. We've been meeting for over 4 years consistently every month, and there's an intention to get back together. So that's part of, like the definition of a community, how I think of, with when I talk about, building a product, define your terms, right? What are your nouns? What are your verbs? Okay? What are your adjectives? And that's one thing I think about community is that there's an intent to gather face to face, and there's magic that happens face to face that does not happen online, right? And I have nothing against online communities, but just understand they're an online community. We tend to call those communities, but I believe without the physical face-to-face regularity, it's a different thing, right? And that's, well, it's not like necessarily a playbook. It's just when I talk to other community leaders or people who want to start their own thing that they're passionate about, I tell them, figure out your Venn diagram and gather regularly, right? If we have one person show up to Houston product community, we're going to have a great time still. Like we're going to have a great conversation. And my KPI for the Houston product community is, did a meaningful connection and interaction happen here that otherwise wouldn't, right? And when the answer to that is no, 3 months in a row, it's over. Like, we're not starting an association or a membership or anything like that. We just simply gather to connect, learn, share, and get better at product. So it's not a playbook I'll ever probably publish or anything like that. It's just something. And if you're outside of Houston, don't bother me with it, right? Because it's but if you're a Houston community, leader that's interested in, starting or growing a community, be happy to chat with you.
Nice, love it.
That's another thing. Like, it's been a big one for me is like in the past 5 years since kind of finding that Venn diagram, it's like you don't need to contentize everything, right? Just have a conversation. Now we have all kinds of terrible advice. And that's where I think, a couple of years ago when people started working from home, a lot of people had downtime, and it's like they're writing all these articles. So 5 years ago, it was tough to find good resources on product management, right? It just wasn't out there too much. But then 3 years ago, we have this proliferation of just vapid opinion, right? Or what's worked well in your world. You read it, you go to try to apply it in your own environment, and it doesn't work out, and you're left scratching your head why. And that's so I'm a big proponent of not everything, not every thought has to be turned into an SEO optimized piece of content, nor should it.
Nice.
And I'm almost to the point where no piece of context should am I going to waste my energy doing that? I've done
Well,
that enough.
if you change your mind about the playbook, please let us know. So, Wade, great to have you on today. I've enjoyed this whole thing. Where can people find you? So at the product at the
Yeah, the Houston product community, you can Google it. It meets the second Saturday of every month here in Houston. We do not broadcast it. It's only in person. We do not record it. You got to be in Houston. And well, if you're in Houston visiting, you can stop by and join us. Love to have you. Finding me, I'm at the ION here in Houston, which is like an innovation center. I'm there on Fridays. And there's an event there called Cup of Joey, networking type thing. That's the way to find me. I'm only giving you an in-person way to find me.
Love it. Love it. Wade Pender, pleasure to have you.
Really enjoyed it, Thomas. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.